Amen. Thank you both. When I'm going through thinking about what you might like to hear, I always wonder if I'm really getting anything that anybody really wants to hear anything about. But I've had a verse in the Bible that has bugged me for some time, and it's the only place in the Bible I see this verse, and I've questioned it, whether I do any good. May be a question, but at least I will have discussed that verse, and I can maybe put it behind me from keeping to thinking about it. In any event, a number of years ago when I was at Ridgewood Park United Methodist Church, we had an art committee in the church, and the art committee had people come in and teach things in different phases. And one of the things that they were doing was they did, because I guess I was there, they were doing the wood carving, and we had a lady who was a famous painter, very well known and painted. She came to the class, and her hands were gnarled up with arthritis. Hardly could have moved the fingers at all. She'd come and going to take a knife and start carving, and I asked her, I said, "Don't you paint?" She said, "Yes." And she said, "Yes, she did." I said, "Why in the world would you do the carving with hands like that when you can paint, beautiful paintings?" She said, "Well, you know, my husband passed away, and I didn't know that." And she said, "When I painted, he sat in the chair, and if I started to put a color on the painting, he said, 'No, no, no. Okay, yes or no. That's not right. You want to?'" He said, "I paint, but he doesn't speak. I can't do it anymore. He can't do it anymore." So while she was there with those gnarled up hands, he carved a frog. It was so realistic, it was unbelievable. How in the world she had the power with those arthritic hands, I don't know. God's gift of hands. Ruth and I, the last couple of nights, were watching a documentary. I say we, the last couple of nights, I guess we could have seen the whole thing in an hour, but old folks get tired and in the middle of it and had to do it in two nights in order to see it. But we were watching a documentary of the elk. Big antlers. The males grow just huge set of antlers, sometimes 7 feet across from one side to the other, and you wonder how they can keep from tilting one way or the other. And it's a weapon they use in seeking power among the herd, running into each other to determine which one is going to be the lead elk. They lock those antlers and fight with them. Sometimes they actually cut their eyes or hit the problems, but basically it's kind of a friendly fight and just pushing. To elude the bears, though, they are better off running than using their antlers, and so that's what they do. So God made antlers especially for the elk, and he made them with one of the fastest animals next to the pronghorn deer. so they could escape the bears. He gave them those assets, those abilities. Prior to that, we watched the horned owl, the big owls, how they have these feet. And of course, if you really see them, and particularly in the mountains in Colorado, if you see the horned owls, they'll get up on the top of the trees, so you can really see the owl against the sunlight at night. And they do hoot. Others don't, but some they do. And watching these great horned owls and the elk and the magnificent animals, the beauty of their activities as they search for food and do what they need to do. The owls have huge hearing ability and eyesight, can see almost 4 or 5 miles away, can see the, and so God gave them abilities to do what they need to do in order to survive, to care for themselves. They can use these assets, the claws on the feet and the eyesight, and the feathers are designed so they make no noise as they come down, so they never alert the mouse until they've actually caught the mouse. No man has ever claimed that I know of to make an elk or a great horned owl. These are impressive animals, and if we really look at them and study them, it's really, really hard to believe that there's not a God doing this. In the same way, you see, man was given hands with the thumb that opposes the other fingers, and we were given these hands. So if you were to just accidentally have taken a video of the North family in 1941 through 1946 in Kearney, Nebraska, you would have seen them work the peach orchard, harvest the peaches, harvest the strawberries, raise corn, harvest the corn, the peas, the tomatoes, the bell peppers, the potatoes, feed the chickens, give the turkey eyedroppers of cod liver oil, pulling the weeds, shelling the peas, canning the peas and corn, potatoes, butchering the chickens, feeding the calf, and so on. My brother, my dad, and I loved working that. About 9 acres. Places to roam, run. Oh boy, even driving the tractor at 8 or 9 years of age. But my mom hated it. This was all handwork. For hours, we'd sit in the backyard and shell peas into the pot, and they would be canned, put in the cellar. And man's hand, our hands. God gave us our hands. What does the Bible say about the hands? Well, and this is not the verse that bugs me yet, but this is some of what God says. Proverbs 10:4 says, "He that becometh poor, that dealeth with slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich." Proverbs 11:21. "Though the hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." In Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth as nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." So what does the Bible say about the use of your hands? Well, we all know that hands can be used like anything for good and evil. Cain and Abel, as you will recall, demonstrates the evil. But God in Proverbs is promoting the good. One would think that the hands could be used for God's purposes. Indeed, the Bible says, use the hands. In Genesis 48:14 through 15, it's used for blessing. Blessing the wrong boy, because Israel blessed the wrong boy. So it's kind of evidence of evil as well as the good. Ordination, Numbers 8:10. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. Healing, Mark 6:5. And I'm leaving part of this verse out, that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. Blessing can be used for the blessing. And he, Luke 24:50, and he led them out as to Bethany, and he lifted his hands and blessed them. Prayer in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore, men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting, and solemnizing testimony and benediction and blessing children. Acts 28:8. Paul entered in prayer, laid hands on him and healed him. Hands and other verses and phrases are paraphrased, and I don't want to go into the hands here on some of the things that we talk about hands, those things that really are not real. They're used as a symbol. But some of those are John 1:1. Our hands have handled. See, this is really not our hands. This is the meaning of hand as a kind of a ability. The hands have handled the word of life. Oh, really? Have we handled it? James 4:8, clean your hands. Hebrews 10:31, it is fearful to fall into the hands of the Lord. See, this is not really the use of the hands itself. It's the symbolism. And Timothy 2:8, prayer everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. But you see, a verse in Thessalonians that keeps bugging me with those recited from Proverbs give me cause to think and mean and see what the meaning really is of the verse. The verse that troubles me is 1 Thessalonians 4:7-12, and really only parts of that, but let's go to that and read the whole thing. First Thessalonians 4, 7 through 12. For God has not called on us unto uncleanliness, but unto boldness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in the Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. that you walk honestly toward them that are without and that may have a lack of nothing. And what I'm really honing in on, what this verse says in verse 11 is that you do your own business, do your own work. And secondly, that you work with your own hands. Well, you know, God didn't give an elk a hand, but he gave him the tools to forage. And he gave him antlers to clear the snow off the grasses and to run and to avoid the bear. And the owls, he gave owls strong feet, but no hands. Gave the owl powerful eyes to search for the food and feathers so silent that the mouse never even heard him approach. God gave our family the hands to do the work, to butcher the chicken, to plant the corn, to harvest the strawberries, feed the calf, give the cod liver oil to the turkeys. But at this very time, the car had become an important tool in this country. But you have to get gas, not like a horse. The power windows in the cars make it easier to roll them up and down. And Mike took me to the prayer meeting the other day, and he had the seats turned on, the warm seats or not. Oh, wow. What blessings we get from all of these inventions. Gradually, washers and dryers, air conditioners. You didn't have air conditioning, didn't have washers and dryers in that farm up there. Did it all by hand. So, beginning in 1941 through 45, we started to see our country move to reduce the workload. And people loved that. People loved that. We reduce the amount of work. Patty was a lady that came to my office. Black woman, had 7 children by 7 different men, not one of which was paying her child support, all because, you see, they could plead in our Texas courts what was called the plea of coverture. Plea of coverture is, I'm married to another woman, and so therefore I don't have to pay child support. One of the reasons that I was interested in helping Patty was that I felt like this rule of law, this plea of coverture, was unconstitutional, and I figured that we were going to take this case all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. And we would have, except there were 2 young Mexican lawyers in San Antonio that had the same case that was pending right then at the same time before the Supreme Court of the state of Texas. So he was ahead of me, and I never could catch up, so I just decided to try to help Patty. Each child meant more money to her. Your tax dollars were paying. At the same time, Pastor Jackson, the pastor in a church in South Dallas, big old church, at one time it had been in what had been the Jewish area of the community, but it was a wealthy area, and there was a big Christian church in that part of the town. And this black pastor, as the town deteriorated in that area, he took this old church. He had a gimp leg, and he ran a daycare and a school. His deal was this: I will take Patty from you, and I will put her to work in my school, and I will teach her to work with her hands. and make money. And he would do that with women in the community, black women in the community that had three or four children and no child support because of the plea of coverture. And he would give them a job, free tuition for the children, and paid them a full salary for teaching in his school or for just mopping, if the only thing they could do was mop. And then he would get them trained, teach them English if he had to, teach them how to do work in the school as he was telling them they were teachers in the school and training these kids. He would really teach them and get them, and then he'd get them a job outside, and then he'd go get another woman, and he would take that woman off of Social Security or medical support or whatever funds she was getting from the government, because you see, once you get more money than what the government gives you, then all of a sudden it's a better deal. And he was doing that. Unfortunately, the feds didn't like it. They didn't like him doing that, taking him off the Social Security. They knew he was doing it because he was successful at doing it over and over and over again. He was taking them off, and they didn't like this, so they came and investigated. They caused the state agencies that licensed schools and daycares to investigate. And, you know, state agencies and the federal government kind of like this. And so they would file claims to dismiss his license to do this day school because they wanted to get rid of him. The feds did. And the state played along because they would investigate. And so they would come into the court system and they would accuse him of not running the daycare properly. And they would make allegations that there were pieces of glass on the playground and that that was unsafe for the children. And that there were rat feces in, of course, when I examined it the first time, the rat feces was really a pod of mud. But they would file a suit against him to get rid of him from doing that. Because he was taken their business away from him. He was getting people paying jobs. And so far, and just along, so you kind of know what this pastor's like. He had a gimp leg, and the old church had an insurance claim for the roof. And he made the claim, got the money, got the check, and instead of getting a roofer to go up on the roof, now this is a three-story roof, and he's got this gimp leg. He goes up on the roof. He repairs the roof because you see that money that he got from the insurance company to pay the roofers was enough money for him to go get another woman that he could pay to get off of government handouts. So he re-roofed the roof with that gimp leg. I saw him up on the roof. I actually saw him up on the roof. So three cases. It took them three cases, and they finally got him. They got him dismissed, and they closed him down. We fought twice and were able to win two cases in a two cases, but the third one was, and it was just rat feces that was probably dust or whatever. Anyway, we tried to get it. Just didn't work. And you see what happened is this country's gone to that. We've given up using our hands. We like the lap of luxury. We like to push the button on the machines, turn the machines on. We like the push the button and roll the window up on our cars. We like that. We enjoy that. We like the air conditioning. We like the benefits that we get from other people's work. And there are people who are in government who hire it all the time. President Biden still isn't cooking his own meals. He's got to cook, or had one. So we've given up really using our hands. And now here you see we go back to this verse, and it says, use your hands. Do your own work. And I'm thinking, is God telling me that there's nothing I learned that I can do with my hands that might someday help me with something I need to do? Is there something I can learn from the books? Is there something that I can learn from my dad showing me how to butcher the chicken? Well, you see, I saw that. I saw him do that, but I never learned how to do that. If I were in a posture where I had to do that, I didn't get the education. If there was a time that I was supposed to use a pressure cooker, I wouldn't know how to do that. Even though I saw it as a young kid, I didn't learn all of this. We have given up using our hands. God gave them to us in this verse, keeps saying, do your own work. Do your own work. Do it. And I'm just wondering, you see, with the federal government now saying that we're going to have meat shortages and we're going to have all these problems, and with the Bill Gates is doing what they're doing to try to shut some of these deliveries down, and with what the government promises to do, what would we do if they're successful? I don't know how to butcher the squirrel. I don't know. I haven't done it. I don't know how to do that. But I could if I had a little knowledge. Maybe if I had to, maybe I could do that. And you know, what we've done is we've trained our kids and our children that education isn't all that important. And so they don't want to study. U.S. has the worst high school ratings in mathematics in the world schools that are really trying to so-called education. That's where we are in math. That's where they are in Harvard University, and where the Harvard University person couldn't answer the question as to what was right and fair under our Constitution, under Article 14, or Amendment 14. Embarrassing. Very embarrassing. What we've done is we've not really undertaken to learn everything that we can do, to use our hands to do. Oh yeah, well, there's other things. I realize, you know, you have those people with arthritis and can't do it. And all the while, you see, the government wants to tell you it knows what it's doing. Climate control, they say they can control the climate. And they can't even control a little old tornado. They haven't done it yet. And God gave us these hands. And you know, I don't have feelings in these fingers. They sting at night. I can put stuff on them, old goat stuff on them at night, make them feel a little better. I can put a hot pad on, but I can turn my hand around and do some of the same things I was doing forward, backwards with these hands, because it doesn't hurt the thumb yet, doesn't hurt these other two fingers. So there are things I can still do with the hand, and if the hands are injured, they can be repaired. Ruth had two ankles broken. They could repair them. You know, that's God's. That's God's creation. God created it. Anything man makes, when the car breaks down, it's trashed. But God made all of this to use. And I still am wondering if God in this verse isn't trying to tell me something, that need to get prepared to use our hands, because even if the rapture comes quick, it may not come quick enough for us not to have to be able to use our hands to get a chicken in the pot that we have to butcher ourselves. I just wonder if God put those two verses in Thessalonians, do your own work, because he expected you to do your work, to do your foraging, to do your work, to do your work to care for yourself, and to use your hands in doing it. God gave us these hands, and he tells us to do your own business and work with your own hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wisdom that you give us and the guidance you give us and the blessings you give us. And thank you, Father, for leading me to study different things that you would have me consider. I pray, Father, that some of this is meaningful to people in our congregation and helpful, maybe in a little bit of understanding, Father, that I pray that you lead us, all of us, each of us, in our own way, and each in our own abilities and understanding, and with the capabilities that you've given us with our hands to do what we can do, and most of all, to learn to do as much as we possibly can with our hands and our minds and our work, and to do our own work and to do what we can do, because, and what we learn, anything we learn may be helpful someday to help us do what you have us to do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.